these days of summer, reality television seems to be on tap whenever you turn on your set. Let's take a moment and discuss the genre of reality television and whether it's here to stay with my guest, veteran television producer Michael Levitt. Michael Levitt is an accomplished producer of music and event television programming. He recently co-produced the noted reunion specials of Dallas and Happy Days and co-produced the syndicated game show Hollywood Squares. He created the TV Land Awards, which he was also executive producer. For the past 10 years, he's been producer of the Billboard Music Awards and the Teen Choice Awards, which makes him an able guest to talk about how award shows like the Oscars and Emmys can be improved, what with the trend of low ratings and lessening public interest. Please welcome to the commentary.ca, Michael Levitt. Good morning, Mr. Levitt.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Reality television, when I think of reality TV, I think of two different categories of that. I think of The Apprentice and Survivor, American Idol in one category, and then on the other, the sort of celebrity ones with Kirstie Alley, The Osbournes, The Simple Life. In your estimation as working in the industry, is the trend of reality television, will that be around for years to come?
Absolutely. I think that reality television is here to stay for sure. I think there's so many different incarnations yet to be explored and tapped into. And unfortunately, I think because society has such a short attention span now that reality television is a great breeding ground for people's curiosity to watch and see people kind of fall from grace and make mistakes and screw up. And I think that that's all very conducive to reality and reality continuing as a genre.
Well, why do you think it is so that reality television has become this phenomenon, that people do watch it? Is it because of people's tastes? Have they changed over the years? Or
I think people, as I said, I think people have short attention spans, and I think that they love to be a fly on the wall. They love to get the real deal. I think people have become more shrewd, more aware, wiser in their viewing habits, and I think that there's just a natural gravitation towards being able to be inside somebody's bedroom or inside somebody's house and eavesdrop on the real deal, what people are really saying and what people are really thinking. And I think people can't get enough of it.
But don't you think that there are too many shows that people will eventually get sick of it?
I think that within the reality genre, it certainly is cyclical, and I think that people do burn out, and then the climate changes, and you'll see a trend of a new type of reality show. For example, I think with the advent of shows like Extreme Makeover: Home Edition and The Amazing Race, that kind of turned the tides, where people were gravitating towards feel-good reality and getting sick of mean-spirited programming. So I think now it's all about making people, touching people, warm and fuzzy reality.
Speaking to you from Canada this afternoon or this morning, we get a sense that your country, in terms of its politics, is sort of a red state, blue state divide, is rather polarizing. Do you think there are reality shows for everybody, really? I mean, if you want to watch a couple of people take apart a motorcycle, you can watch that, or you can watch Queer Eye for the straight guy. Has reality been reality television, that phenomenon, been influenced by the political culture?
Well, that's a very good question, and it is a bit polarizing. And in fact, out in the world of pitching shows, the latest thing that I've been hearing is that people have been using the term, pitching shows that red state programming is becoming very popular. So, for example, there was a recent Jeff Foxworthy roast on Comedy Central, which did huge numbers. So something like that makes a big impact, and all of a sudden people start thinking, what's going to appeal to the red states? Because those people have become very powerful in recent years. recent years, and certainly have been a huge consideration in when people are formulating and putting together television shows.
Last season, the Desperate Housewives lost. They seemed to spawn this revival of dramatic programming, dramatic series. Will we see more of those in the next season to come, or will there be more reality programming?
I think you're going to get a mix, and I think what drives that is any time that a show hits big and becomes a cultural phenomenon, whether it's Desperate Housewives in the comedy slash drama genre, or a show like The Apprentice in the reality genre, when a show like that makes a big splash, you find that people want to become, you know, there's a lot of ambulance chasing going on, and you'll see, you know, shows that are very derivative of those formats shortly follow thereafter.
Another question I have about the industry, you'll indulge me with it. What about programs like Entertainment Tonight, Access Hollywood, Pat O'Brien? Do they have an influence in drawing people's attention to reality shows, vice versa?
I think they have a huge influence in people's viewing habits across the board. Entertainment Tonight, gosh, it's been on for probably almost 30 years now, I believe, and people know that they can turn to shows like that to get up-to-the-minute information and news and highlights of their favorite shows, whether it's reality or scripted programming. What I think that's interesting, though, is, which might be a bit of a tangent, is I think there's a little bit of overload with those kinds of shows, and that's why I think The Insider hasn't really been doing as well as they had hoped it would. I think that people can tolerate an Entertainment Tonight and Access Hollywood and an Extra, but I think The Insider is just too similar to those other shows, and people, you know, it's an oversaturation, and I think that they're realizing that in the numbers that they're getting on The Insider.
Now, you've produced reunion programs, Dallas Happy Days. You're working on one now, are you?
Yes, I am the executive producer of the Knott's Landing reunion, along with my partner Henry Winkler.
Is there a great appetite for reunion programs?
Absolutely, and that's an interesting question relative to the whole discussion of reality and mean-spirited programming, because I think that reunion shows have resonated with the public because while there are a lot of people that are obsessed with reality, and I stand by that, I think there is definitely a huge audience that's craving something alternative. And I think that because we live in such a scary world right now, for people to be able to tune into a reunion show that brings them back to a kinder, gentler world for a couple hours is very meaningful to a lot of people, and therefore these shows do really well because of that.
Now, in observing television over the last number of years, it seemed to me that a watershed moment was in November 2001 when Carol Burnett had that special, and everybody talks about how huge the ratings were for that show. Have reunion shows come in vogue because after that date in November 2001, or have they always been popular?
I think reunion shows have certainly been around. I remember MASH reunion a few years before the Carol Burnett special that did well, but I certainly think that the Carol Burnett reunion made programmers and network executives really take note of the power of those shows and how far-reaching they can be, you know, with regard to viewership and to tune-in. And they continue to do well from the first Carol Burnett reunion a few years back that did so well to the recent Happy Days reunion, which I produced with Henry Winkler, which I believe has been the highest-rated television reunion ever, garnering over 20 million viewers.
Really? Now, let's move on to award shows. You've produced award shows in the past. The trend that we've seen is that the Oscars, the Emmys, the Grammys, ratings have gone down over
which is a good and bad thing for a guy like myself. It's good in that with a plethora of award shows, it creates more opportunities for a producer like myself, but it makes my job all the more difficult because anything and everything has pretty much been done on award shows, and so the real challenge is how do I make, you know, the award show that I'm working on now different from all the rest?
Now, big celebrities and musical performances, is that not enough now, or?
No, I don't think it's enough. I think that people can find a parade of stars, you know, any day of the week on various shows on various networks. I think that the real challenge for producers of award shows is to come up with those memorable water cooler moments that people not only will talk about the next day after the show has aired, but perhaps something that's promotable ahead of time that will give people an incentive to tune in. For example, the Nickelodeon Kids Choice Awards, which is not a show that I do, did a stunt towards the end of their award show a year or two ago, in which an extreme athlete was jumping out of a plane on a bike and landing in a vat of green slime. And so they promoted that in the on-air promotion before the award show even started, and then they heavily promoted it within the show, and that award show did great numbers, and the feeling was that promotable stunt kept the viewers' interest.
If you took over from Gil Cates and had to produce the Oscar show, what would you do differently than what we've seen traditionally?
Well, it's interesting because I've learned that a few different networks that I know of have done focus groups on award shows, and as much as everybody says there are too many award shows and that, you know, we need to shake it up and make them different, the focus groups have really shown that when all is said and done, the public expects big networks to have award shows, number one. They want these tentpole flagship events, and they want a traditional aspect to them. They want to see the celebrities walk down a red carpet. They want to see the nominees are in a competitive format, and they want to hear the celebrities walk up on stage and say goofy acceptance speeches or fall down when they're on their way to the podium. So I'm a real believer in keeping the traditional format, but coming up with ideas that are creative that complement that. Now, with regard to the Oscars, I have all the respect in the world for Gil Cates. He's a veteran producer with an incredible track record, and I don't fault him for this because I'm sure he was given a mandate to, again, shake it up and make it different. But I felt that last year's Oscars was an example of how shaking it up can really kind of turn on you. I think that what they did with presenting some of the categories from the audience and having some of the winners of the lower profile awards having to actually accept their award in the aisle, I think it came off tacky, and I think that the viewers sensed that and felt it was disrespectful to the nominees and winners in those categories. And I even had a friend say to me that he felt like he was watching Let's Make a Deal, and that, you know, a life-size Rice-A-Roni was going to come running down the aisle. And I thought that was a great comment because it did kind of have that game show feel to it. The other thing they did was when they made the nominees all stand on the stage, again, I think that created some awkwardness and ultimately didn't work well.
Now, the Emmys are coming up within the next month or two. Last year they had multiple hosts. Will we see any differences in the way that show's produced?
Well, I don't know, and I'm curious myself, and I will definitely be tuning in. This year, the Television Academy and CBS hired Ken Ehrlich, who is famous for producing the Grammys for many, many years. His forte is music and music award shows. He's a really highly creative guy, and I know that he's going to do some really interesting things this year. I'm curious to see if what he does will do the trick and will elevate viewership. It'll be very interesting.
Yeah, Michael, it's been a pleasure to speak with you today, and I do appreciate you taking the time to speak with us, and thanks so much again for joining us.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for talking to me.
Michael Levitt is the founder of Michael Levitt Productions. He's my guest here on thecommentary.ca. I'm Joseph Plenum.